Charity of the Week. Please tell us your name and charity.
My name is Geoff Whitten. I'm the CEO of the Children's Centre.
How did the charity start and what is its purpose?
That's a really good question. It is one of the oldest charities on Ireland. So I'm going to get my date wrong here, but 1868 was when it was first formed. So predates all things like the NHS and kind of a load, most kind of care perceptions in people's minds. And early doors, it was about hospital beds for the destitute. And I've got a plaque in my office, which is one of those things. So dated around about 1870, which is kind of fascinating because, again, it's all pre-care. So if you didn't have any money, you couldn't go to hospital. And so, you know, babies born into kind of complex like family circumstances, they would have no support or anything like that. So that's essentially how the charity started. During the 20th century, it was broadly about kind of care homes for children, so looked after children. And as a result, and you know, we do have to sometimes talk about it and acknowledge it, is that we are historically connected to Knotfield, which is a, you know, really difficult subject to talk about without kind of raising some complex issues. But the charity that we are now is all about preventing such things like that and actually supporting children who have had really difficult circumstances in their lives. The modern version, probably around about 1980-ish, again my dates to apologise, but Peggy Pugh was the CEO, the person who ran the charity at the time, and looked for gaps where there wasn't statutory provision. So one of the things that kind of came about then was after school clubs and, you know, work with children preschool as well, but also, you know, complex needs children who were falling out of the system. So essentially that's how the charity kind of became, and the modern era, if you like, is essentially what people perceive the Children's Centre as being. In recent years we've become much more focused about looking at this space where there isn't other services providing. So we refer to it as the missing middle. So it's in between health, it's in between education, and in between social care. So it's a child who has a health complexity, but not necessarily needing a full-time health service. So maybe, you know, a mental health issue or a language delay or you know, a learning complication. So is that a health concern or is it an education concern? And it sits in that sort of space in between those two places. So that's essentially where we work.
Who is the charity for?
Well, I quite like the name, actually, because the child is at the centre of the work. So the charity is for children and young people. We're not really one to kind of designate how old a child or how old a young person is. You know, that they are the age that they are, and if they need our services, we work with them. So we don't kind of have like hard lines like 18 and under or, you know, 5 and older. It's anybody who's within that broad range of children and young people. But also the family. You know, the family is so important. If someone's living in complex circumstances, you know, where they go to sleep is incredibly important, as much as where they go to learn or where they go to socialise. You know, all of these are factors with their journey. So the child is at the centre of the work, and then we just work with other agencies or people around it to make sure that the impact is there and the outcomes are achieved.
Tell us about your team.
Team's brilliant. I have one of those jobs where I'm really lucky. I work with a team of incredibly dedicated, passionate, experienced, wonderful people. So I'm really proud to work with them. Really proud to represent them, as I have to do in my role. You know, I have to go outside and talk about the charity as I'm doing now, and I'm really proud to do that sort of thing. And they're fun as well. It's a nice group of people to work with. So I'm really lucky. I have one of those jobs that I really look forward to going to. Really enjoy being there with the people I work with, and I hopefully do positive things for the organisation every week. That's my hope. So I was saying before about how we kind of work in this space of the missing middle, as we call it, between health and education and social care. So we tailor what we do towards the child's needs. So if we have a child who's having a learning or a learning development issue, so that may be something like dyslexia or dyspraxia or perhaps ADHD, they would come to the charity, and they might not need more classroom type learning. What they need is physical learning. So we have essentially kind of three different areas of work that we do. So one is around family support. So it's very theory based, and it's about how we can work with the whole family and encourage a child's kind of needs, and we understand the circumstances that they're in terms of, you know, there might be social issues as well, and we work with the parents within that. The other team that we have are people who do kind of outdoor learnings, so outdoor learning specialists, so mountain biking and jumping in the sea and all those sorts of exciting, positive, you know, brilliant ways of using the island for our kind of work. And then the third team theme are much more about the farm. So the charity's based at a farm, so we have animals and we have animal care, but that includes horticulture and arts and crafts and technology learning. So in a sense, arguably, we've kind of got like kind of a social or health work team. We've got an outdoor learning providers team and we've got an education learning team. But it's not quite so linear as that. You know, every child that comes to us might need a bit of all of those three areas. And so each person who works there has the chance to engage with all of those aspects. So, you know, the outdoor learning providers, they're the specialists, but everybody should be able to get on a mountain bike and chug around on it, or everybody should be able to jump in the sea, or everybody should be feel comfortable going into the polytunnels and doing some growing. So it's a really, you know, it's a really rich and emotionally rich team where we get chance to do kind of everything. And then, of course, behind that, there's the support mechanisms. So there's, you know, people who are involved in like administration and running the charity to make sure we're operationally sound. And then we have a team whose job it is to talk about the work we do to other people. So it's, we call it development, and it includes the income generation and the fundraising, but also working with, let's say, corporate partners or government partners and so forth.
Which other organisations do you work with?
Oh, as many as we possibly can. We do work with our third sector partners. We've got a couple of really meaningful long-term relationships and partnerships going on. So one's with the Joanna Simpson Foundation. So that's looking at the impact. It's a really sad topic and difficult to talk about, but of domestic abuse, domestic violence, particularly on children who have witnessed or experienced it. So we do some amazing work in that kind of area. We've got another one with the Manx Children's Art Therapy. So we host their art therapist at the farm. And it's a really lovely cross referral between us both. So those are, you know, long-term organisational partnerships, but we work with as many other of the third sector, and there's a brilliant third sector on Ireland, as we possibly can. So from I'll Listen to Hospice to Cruise to Victim Support and so forth and so forth. You know, all as many as we can possibly engage with in a meaningful sense. But for us, perhaps one of our most significant partners are schools and Department for Education, or DESC, should I say, because, you know, most children are in school on a daily basis. So we have to engage with their learning and their understanding of school and how school are kind of working with the kind of children that we would work with. And then, of course, Manx Care, because, you know, I'll raise CAMHS, Children and Adolescent Mental Health Services. You know, a lot of the people that we work with will come through there, or one of the other kind of care services from Manx Care, like the occupational health or so forth and so forth. And then, you know, Department for Home Affairs. So, you know, we do have relationships with the Police Early Action Team and other departments from the Home Affairs side of things. So as much as possible, we try to work collaboratively and collectively. You know, we can't solve every problem. We can't. And we're not in isolation either. You know, we got to work collectively with other organisations. Otherwise, we would be doing a disservice to the children that we support.
What are your main goals?
That's a super question. It is to make sure that the children we support, in the nicest possible sense of the word, don't come back to us. You know, we look to close cases only when the outcomes are achieved. So, you know, give an example of a teenager who is selectively mute because they've got an autistic diagnosis. Now, the mutism is not to do with the autism, it's to do with well-being. They're struggling in school because they're not talking and not engaging, and they have a real issue around food. They can't eat socially with other people. So our role is to kind of support them until they get to an understanding of those three or four factors, and they've got their parents understand it, their school understands it, and then we will gradually try our best to stop working with them in an organised and sensible and delicate fashion. And then our ultimate goal is that they don't need to come back to us. They've got the tools to manage their own journey from that point onwards. Most of the children that we work with, well, maybe for about 9 months, maybe a year, you know, so it's a long-term engagement. And actually, kids peak and trough, you know, adults peak and trough, we all do, don't we? So they could be on a really positive journey, but then something will knock them down a bit. And working in the way that we do, we ensure that we get to a really positive outcome for all the children that we support.
How do you see the charity developing over the next 5 years?
I'm a little bit kind of a nostalgic today because today happens to be the fifth anniversary of me starting at the Children's Centre. So I'm kind of reflecting slightly on what we have achieved over the last five, and then thinking ahead of what we can possibly achieve over the next five. One thing I do have to raise is that the finances of all third sector organisations on Ireland and across the UK, they are delicate at the moment. You know, income is down. We know that there are drains on resources here, there and everywhere. Public giving's down. Granting giving organisations are fairly oversubscribed, so there's less money to go around. So there's an argument that if we can stay the same size and scale in 5 years' time, we'll actually have done incredibly well. You know, arguably, that's actually a bit of modest growth because we've managed to stay stable in a period of great instability. For me, what I want to achieve in 5 years is for the centre to be placed at the hearts of all of these dialogues around where educational support or health support or social support is needed for children, so that, you know, people instinctively come to us and know what we do and know the power of the work that we do. That'd be a great achievement. I do think there's a twinge of people aren't quite sure what the Children's Centre do. They kind of know the name and they maybe know about the farm, but they aren't absolutely clear what it is that we do on a daily basis. The problem with that is it's reasonably complicated. You know, what we do is nuanced and focused on the child in question. So I don't have a short answer to kind of go, oh, the Children's Centre do this, because we do a lot and we do it in a way that's all about the young person, all about the child, but for their benefit. So what are we going to be like in 5 years? There's a slightly bleak answer here, that we work with around about 300 kids per year, but I know that we could easily be working with 600, possibly even 900. You know, there's a lot of children that have difficulties, and there are other some amazing providers around, but the ones that we best suit, we could easily double our numbers. So the hugely optimistic version of the answer is that we would be about, you know, a modest growth on terms of what we are now, and embedded into the landscape in the way that people trust what we're doing and celebrate the outcomes and outputs.
How is the charity funded?
Various sources of income. At the moment, currently, we don't have any contracted funding from the government. We used to be, and we used to deliver things like the fostering contract, for example, and the residential contract. They went to St Christopher's, who are doing a brilliant job, and you know that's absolutely fine. But the Children's Centre currently has no contracted funding from the government. So all of our income comes from, I use the term private sources, but what I mean by that is they are, you know, they're various different sources to kind of ways to kind of bring income into the organisation. So, for example, we do fundraising events where we look upon the generosity and kindness of the Manx public to raise a little bit of money on our behalf. I'm working very hard with Department for Education, but schools as well. You know, if a child is coming to us during school hours for a school reason, somewhere within that kind of landscape of school or Department of Education, there should be a financial contribution to the services. Different conversation, but the same principle with Manx care and health concerns. Yeah, I spend a lot of our time writing to people like the Manx Lottery Trust or to one of the other, you know, grant-giving funders to say, this is the kind of work that we're doing and this is where we want to grow our services, or actually sustain our services. And then the final one, and it's only modest, but it's rather lovely, and I try to be joyful because, you know, this topic can sometimes feel a bit bleak, but we are beginning to open the farm a lot more to the public. So we're doing some lovely days, we're calling them the Fun at the Farm, where the general public can come and see the site and come and see the resources and just have a lovely little explore around. And it's only modest, but it's a really nice way of getting people to engage with the charity. And you can buy things like jam that we've made at the centre, or honey from the bees that we have at the centre, which is just joyous. I like those little bits. And I think it's such a special place. It's such a special place that it's really nice to get people to come and see it. I'm quite visual. I quite like to see things rather than read about them. So, you know, when you walk into a room, you feel the mood and the atmosphere of it. And I'm really proud of what we've got at the farm, so it's nice to get the public to come and see it.
How can people support you?
Well, do you know what? We're always looking for support. Sometimes it's a case of just give us a call if you feel you want to be involved. Very important for me to say that anyone can make a referral to the Children's Centre. It doesn't have to be a GP. It doesn't have to be through school. You know, it can be parents directly. So sometimes just give us a call and just ask. You know, that's the best starting point. But if you are keen on becoming involved and helping out the charity, we're always looking for volunteers. You know, volunteers are so helpful. For example, we've got the horticultural project, which is amazing, and it's about kids growing and it's about kids engaging with seeds and soil and compost, but they need to be looked after. And if the child in question isn't quite in the right place emotionally to be involved in that, we still have to do the work. We still have to make sure that the plants are watered. So there's always tasks for volunteers to be involved with. And then after that, there's you know, raising funds. You know, we do these amazing fundraising events that are all about community and people getting involved. So if you are curious, just get involved with one of our numerous different fundraising events across the year. We have a rather good website. It is growing. We're adding content to it and we're adding resources, but there's loads on there, and there is a donate to the charity kind of area. And I hate to make this about money, because it's not just about money, but you know, we're always grateful for any donations that people are willing to make for us.
Where can people find out more?
The phone number is very easy. It's 8 and then 50, so 800000. The website is thechildrencentre.org.im, so www at the beginning of it. We've got a Facebook group and Instagram and various other bits and pieces. But the website's a reasonably good starting point and should give you a clarity of what we're about. So have a look there or give us a call.
The Charity of the Week. Profile complete.